The original Itubi seat is designed to fit perfectly with comfortable padded straps. It's for children and adults that have difficulty sitting on their own. It works on a chair, wheelchair, and can be used in an airplane for traveling. Quick and easy to install and easy to remove to clean. The Itubi seat comes with its own bag, making it easy to travel with. For more information, contact Alderic Miller on 082-890-4371. The number again, 082-890-4371. Dear listener, welcome to our podcast. You are tuned in with the Parent Reality podcast with your presenter, Johanny Meiring, co-founder of Parent Reality. And today we are speaking about inclusion of disability in church. And I have got a very exciting guest in the studio. Her name is Mary Klinkrod. And Mary, I just want to welcome you to this podcast.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
I want to ask you, Mary, can you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yes. So as you heard, my name is Mary. I am the mom of three incredible children. All of my children have disabilities, ranging from autism to physical disabilities to genetic conditions. So we deal with intellectual disability, physical disability, sensory issues and autism-related challenges on a daily basis in our house. I myself am on the autism spectrum, and it's been a very interesting journey for us as a family. I only found out as an adult, so I learned through my children first what autism is really about. So it's been a very interesting journey from that side of it. I volunteer with an organization called Raising Hope South Africa that works in the disabled sector, providing support for individuals and communities with disabilities, both on as parents, as for educators within the church, and also with sports opportunities. And I also run a consulting business that works within the disability field.
Wow. That's so amazing to hear that you're busy with all these things, Mary. And we've been speaking to each other back and forth, and I know that you have got a very interesting, busy and challenging life, right? But still you have time and passion for people in the disability sector. And I want to thank you for that you are doing that. Mary, I would like to ask you, can you give us just a short version of your family story and the diagnosis that you had to face while your kids were young? You gave us a bit of a roundup earlier, but just a bit of the flow of how you guys had to cope with the journey of getting all the diagnoses for your children.
Sure, yeah. Well, my daughter's my oldest, she was 2 when her brother was born, and at birth we were given the diagnosis of Down syndrome for him. Then he was 15 months old when he was also got an autism diagnosis. His brother was then born, and he was a premature baby, and as a result of that, he has cerebral palsy. And then over the years, they've developed epilepsy. My daughter was then diagnosed at 9 years old with autism and ADHD. And along the years, we've accumulated diagnoses. Even now at 17, my son was diagnosed with cataracts a couple of months back, and they found that they were actually related to a different genetic condition to the Down syndrome that he has. So that was a bit of a surprise. But I think it's been, you know, I think after getting the first diagnosis, everything else is just, for me anyway, a guideline. It's a label which tells me something about my child that I need to look out for, something about my child where they struggle, or something about my child for where they might have an exceptional skill. And it's about tapping into that. And so I've kind of stopped seeing – the journey has involved a lot of disability labels. I think our count the other day was 20 different conditions. But there have been more clues as to who my child is for me rather than – well, it's about choosing to see them as a clue as opposed to choosing to see them as something that labels the faults and the problems of my child so that we can move forward. So – it has involved a lot of specialists. With my youngest son, he's got a rare disease. It took 5 years before we got to the bottom of what was going on. So it's involved trust with different doctors. It's involved building relationships. It's involved getting our community on board to support us when we don't know what we're dealing with and we need to find a way forward. Yeah, and I think we're now at a space where we've got community that engages with us. We're at a space where we, each of us, is confident that the disabilities that my children and I would say myself, although I don't always consider myself as having a disability, my autism at times can be disabling. For each of us, it's part of where God needs us to be. We cannot do the work that he wants us to do, that he's called us to do, if we were any different. So it's about seeing that, to be able to really see that there's purpose in all of this, regardless of how it feels.
Exactly. I so totally agree with you about what we need to do in this life and how we are able, right? Because that's a very wise perspective to look at life. I really believe that, especially if you're dealing with challenges day after day after day and not just getting stuck on why, because that's so easy, right? Just getting stuck on that question of why, and it
definitely,
and it, that gets disabling at stages, it feels to me, you know, if you stay there. Well, so Mary, your journey led you towards churches and ministry in churches, specifically, I think Raising Hope also encompasses more than that. But tell us a bit about how that came to be. How did you end up ministering in churches, specifically regarding the disability sector?
So it really, it came over the years. It came through our own needs as a family. With my middle son having Down syndrome and autism, he was delayed in meeting physical milestones. He has intellectual disability, and he struggled with the social skills due to his autism. And we didn't really find a space at church. And I think it was 2008 I came across the work of Joni Erickson-Tada, who's based in America. She runs an organization called Joni and Friends, and they do a lot of ministry work. And I thought, wow, that's really what we need here. And then my other son was born, and he was born Prem, and with irritability of the brain, he was a very miserable baby. So even the cry room wasn't a safe space for us anymore. And it really became a thing of, if I'm going to participate in church, how am I going to do this? Because it's not going to come about through the established channels. And so from that, we started with a respite day, actually. And the idea initially was that it was a space for parents to drop off their kids and go and get some me time. And the parents ended up staying, and they just wanted a word. They wanted to read the Bible, to share together, to pray together, to have a time of spiritual upliftment. So it, on the morning, it evolved from being a drop-off respite program to being a family program. And really, it started out there. And then over the years, as my middle son, his name is David, as he needed to go to Sunday school and we found the Sunday school wasn't so accessible, I started doing training work with those working with him so that I could equip them. Because I can understand that a child with many challenges may be easy to the parents because we've grown with that child. I've grown with my child, but I know that if he wasn't my child, I would find him challenging because I wouldn't understand what his language means. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't understand his alternate forms of communication. I wouldn't know his ability to understand or comprehend. So it would be challenging. So from there, I started just doing ad hoc training to the people who were working with him to be able to support him. And we had at that time moved provinces. So we started up a family ministry event here in Cape Town to support the families, and really realizing at that point that it's not just about the child with disabilities. It's also about the parents. It's also about the siblings. And it's about having a safe space where everybody feels comfortable. And it's as much about the volunteers who work in that program, because they benefit often, sometimes I think more than our families do, because they learn so much, mm-hmm. and they have as much to learn as they have to give, just like our children. We underestimate the disabled child's power to teach and having these programs. Mm-hmm. So that landed me into to really working within how do we encompass and embrace disability in the church? How do we embrace those families and the individuals impacted? And yeah, that's how my journey started, and it continues.
That's wonderful. And what I love about what we've spoken about previously is that you keep this training simple, you know, that it's not a, because in our space, you get so many complicated trainings going around, you know, either to therapists or teachers, yes, or people with whatever skill they have to give. But like Jesus kept the word simple for us to, you know, to learn from, I like the fact that you guys keep it simple, you know, when you train. And how does that simplicity look, you know, from your point of view, to speak to the people in a church wanting to, you know, include people with disabilities in their congregation?
So we have different formats. We have an introduction workshop, which is either online, 2.5 to 2 hour sessions, or in person, it's 1 3-hour session. And that is more background. It's about why do we need to do it? What is the legal aspects? What are the basic things we need to consider? And as churches, what are the first steps that we need to take towards inclusion? And are we being inclusive? Because often within the church, and I don't think it's limited to the church. I do think it's bigger than just the church. But within the church, we think we're being inclusive just because the doorways are accessible to a wheelchair. We don't think of the other disabilities, the intellectual disabilities, the mental impairments, the mental health related disabilities. There's a lot of, it's a lot bigger than just wheelchairs, and we get stuck in physical access. So it's about looking at what does that look like, and what are different, what do we mean by disability? You know, what about the people, the older person in the church who's got dementia? Are we considering them? And yes, we are, because they have become disabled, but how often do they get cared for from the church? So it's about that big picture with our introduction workshop. We also do hands-on 2-day workshops, which are very practical. So we look at different aspects of church programs, children's ministry, youth programs, the worship services, and we look at scenarios and how would you change it, and give a lot of case studies and examples and challenging people to work together to overcome scenarios so that they can see how to practically apply knowledge to make an environment more inclusive. Mm-hmm. But we will also design programs specifically for churches. So if we have a church that says, we really want to make our holiday club inclusive, we will put together a workshop for that church to equip them for their specific holiday club within their specific environment so that they can accommodate who's coming through the doors.
Another thing that's very nice for me is that what you said is that resources is not always the end all and be all of starting this kind of ministry in a church, right? And I think many times we get stuck there because we think, oh no, I don't have the stuff. I don't have the special rooms, all the therapists that I need and all of that. But that's not necessarily how a church starts, right? Is there anything you want to say about resources?
You need to start with what you've got. Really, it is about, and it's about actually starting with the people that you've got, about being an open community. From my own experience, most families who want to attend church are more than willing to share their knowledge and share their resources. Mm-hmm. They're willing to help you with how to support their child. They're willing to help you source things if things are needed. But very often, when we look at how do we accommodate people, it's not about, sometimes it's about putting in a ramp if that is what the church is missing, but it doesn't need to be a fancy cemented ramp. It can be something temporary. Mm-hmm. But very often it's about taking, for example, if we look at children's church, it's about taking the story that is being taught and putting it into flashcards, or making it more visual, or simplifying the bottom line, or even sending it to parents beforehand so that they can read mm-hmm. through the story, and so that their child is not hearing it for the first time or knows what to expect. It can often be very simple things like that. It doesn't need to be about having fancy equipment. It's not about replicating a therapy room inside the church environment. It's about being an encompassing and embracing space of belonging that we're trying to achieve. And that comes just through connection and through human engagement more than anything else.
Earlier, we also spoke about, you know, the family relationships, special needs family relationship with the church. And that is such an important part of just inclusion, you know, inclusion into church and helping those families become more comfortable inside a normal church setup. What is the specific way that you recommend churches do that?
For me, it's about reaching out. You know, often the families who have children with disabilities and are coming to the church, they're expecting judgment, they're expecting criticism, they're expecting problems. Especially if a child is autistic or has behavioral challenges relating to their disability. That's more the expectation than an expectation of acceptance, which a typical family goes to church expecting their child to be able to just slot in. So for me, it's about how do we connect with the parents? We need to be able to engage them to make sure they know that they are welcome and to say to them, what are your child's needs? Not to be afraid and to see a child with disability and be too scared to ask, what are your child's needs? Because we don't want to upset the parents. It's much better that we know what the needs are, because if we know what the needs are, we can accommodate. So it's about breaking down those walls that prevent that connection. And it's about just saying to the parents, you know, if you don't have experience with that disability, because there are so many different disabilities out there, to say, we're not very familiar with this disability. Can you tell us a little bit about more about it? Would you be prepared to come and sit with us and show us, and being open? It's about giving the parent a sense of safety and knowing their children are safe. And that means being vulnerable. If we are leading a ministry, it means being open about our knowledge and our skill set at times. But it's also about just saying to the parents, we're here to talk. You can come and talk to us by telling us your child has autism, or by telling us your child has behavioral challenges is not going to automatically exclude your child. And that's the key thing, is that openness.
That's true. Thank you so much, Mary. We're learning so much from you today. And I think anyone listening who are in church, maybe leading a ministry, or just a family really wanting to be part of church more and not isolate themselves at home, I hope you're learning, and I hope you are finding that if we stand together and if we teach each other, this can really work. Our communities can really grow in church. Mary, just to close off, is there anything specific that you would like to tell our audience, either the parents or even anyone that's leading ministry in church, about including people with disabilities in church?
I think my big thing would just to say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what you think it might take away, because you'll be surprised with what including a child or a person with disabilities will bring and enrich your service or your Sunday school with, because they provide experiences. They are teachers of experiences that cannot be replicated. We can play games to try and give an experience of disability, but we can't learn through games as much as we can learn by genuinely embracing people who are different to us. And, you know, Jesus never excluded. He was always about including everyone and welcoming everybody to him. And some of our future leaders are the people that we least expect to lead. And they may come in the form of the disabled. So we really need to start opening the doors of the church to families impacted with disability.
Thank you. Thank you, Mary. I hope that you and I will be speaking soon again. And I really thank you for being part of this podcast today.
Thank you. I hope we will too.